Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to another Monday. Today is October 30th, and Rachel, we have a gloomy day outside.
Good morning.
How did that happen?
I think it's just time for fall.
It is time for fall. It's time for winter, too, actually.
Yeah.
They're saying we might get some rain tomorrow, which I'm extremely happy about.
Yeah, we haven't had rain in a while.
No, and we never get rain here. I mean, at least this week we're going to actually have some weather.
Yeah.
It's not going to be the same every day.
Yeah, no, I was saying, like we were talking earlier, when LA gets like this, it feels like Gotham City. You know, we're just waiting for Batman to come out and save us.
Like dark and cloudy.
Did you do anything this weekend for the Halloween?
No, I did not, actually. Were you invited to any parties?
This year I wasn't. I realize I am not. I just like I have not reached my peak coolness yet, but maybe next year. However, I was like, I worked also, and I just like didn't. I did a show last night, and I got up on stage. I was like, I didn't dress up this year because the real world is just so much scarier. You know? I just was completely a Halloween Grinch. Didn't give a fuck. I'm just, you know, like I can't.
Well, you still have tonight and tomorrow. You know, I mean,
yeah, no,
you can go trick or treating.
I'm stoned
or
for Halloween. I'm stoned. That's just what it is.
Talking about stone, yesterday I took double edible.
Good for
and
you.
I was so fucked up. You know, it was just amazing to me. I don't know why I did it, but to think that one of our friends actually took six bites instead of the two that I took.
Legend.
I can't imagine.
Awesome.
He did it by mistake, of course.
Right. And well, we have a new video out on The Bud on YouTube. That's the five stages of an edible with Olivia and I. And it's pretty funny. So everyone should check it out. It's pretty good.
What do you mean stages? Like how it creeps
like
up
the five
on
stage,
you?
Yeah, just like the, you know, like the typical, like when you take the, like you eat too much of an edible. So there's typically like five stages. Like first, see, like you're okay. Like, okay. And like then it's like, is it working? So you eat more, you eat the whole thing. And then like you have like a 15-minute window of like awesomeness, right? Where it's just like, yeah, you know, and then all of a sudden just, you know, like you get that paranoia.
Like
if you haven't done this, but it's just basically for like beginner edible takers and stuff. And just like, you know, the people who do it wrong the first time, you know, you eat the whole thing.
If you're new to it, don't dabble with edibles. Just
No, you can dabble with edibles, but just less is more.
But what
for?
I mean, someone new doesn't want such a high, I don't think. It's too high.
No, they have edibles that are very low dose.
Yeah, that's
like, you know,
true,
the
right?
stuff that you take is like for
very
experts.
Powerful,
like
right.
the stuff that's, they make stuff that are 5 milligrams.
Right,
you know?
I know. Like,
that's what I'm saying. Like, less is more when it comes to edibles.
Yeah, yeah.
And some people who are beginners may not want to smoke. Maybe they, you know what I mean? Maybe they're looking for medicine in the subtle ways, and that's even more subtle than smoking a whole bong or a joint.
Right.
They just can't take
a
1,000 milligrams like Sam over here.
No, I don't take it all at once. Are you out of your mind? I would die, man.
Hilarious.
I would die. But so speaking about that, did you know that the company that owns Corona Beer is getting into the pot business? They agreed to pay, get this, Rachel, $190 million for only a 10% stake in Canopy Growth Corporation, which sells medical marijuana in Canada. And plans,
you're talking about Corona?
Yeah, Corona.
Yeah.
So the company that they're investing into it sells medical marijuana in Canada. And
well, if you can't beat them, join them. That's what they're saying.
Right, you know, so it's pretty unusual because the same alcohol companies tend to not cross over to marijuana, but they're saying it's an emerging market. And
if they were smart, they would get in.
Yeah. Well, they are. I mean, for $190 million for 10%, I mean, that's like a $2 billion company. My God. Yeah, you see, I mean, there's a lot of money in this, folks. Mm-hmm. But get in line, take a number.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So anyway, that's that. Also, we do have a great guest in the studio. We'll get to him in just a moment. We got some great music from him and everything, so that'll be cool.
We're having a Mueller Monday. We got to talk about indictments.
We do, we do. But before that, I just wanted to bring up, oh, you want to talk politics? Okay, we can.
We have to. This is a bit that we have to.
All right.
Are you kidding?
Right.
We've been waiting for this.
But Kevin Spacey did come out.
I know, I saw that. But
as gay, but it's because.
Masked in abuse, wrapped up in abuse.
Yeah. An actor named Anthony
Rapp.
Exactly.
He was one of my favorite actors. I loved Kevin Spacey.
Yeah. He's very good. Mm-hmm. He's very good. But apparently he was 26 at the time. This was in 1986. That's a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin was 26 and the boy was 14.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, I mean, that's... Yeah, I mean, what does that do to the soul of a person? You know what I'm saying, man?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, fuck, man. You fuck him up completely. So, but Kevin Spacey tweeted, I honestly don't remember, and it would have been over 30 years ago, but if I did, I owe him the sincerest apology and everything, and it was inappropriate drunk behavior probably. So, so there it is, you know, but it seems like everybody's falling, you know, with these fucking allegations and stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty widespread. So, all right. So go ahead and bring up the politics you wanted to talk about, because it is very important. Huge headlines this morning.
Well, we have Manafort, Gates, and Papadopoulos, or whatever his name is.
Right.
The three of them. Yeah. Russia colluded with our elections, and Trump was in on it. And all of his people, and we're watching them fall one by one. But you remember you asked, you're like, why aren't they doing something about it? But I told you a lot of these investigations take time. So when they right. bring these, because it seemed like, okay, it's been almost a year. Why haven't we seen anything? But like, that's not how the law moves so slow, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And when they want to bring these serious charges, they have to know so much information and do so much evidence collecting
right.
that. Because think about how serious he literally conspiring against the United States. Like, that just sounds scary. You know what I mean? The charges that they're bringing against these people. But yeah, I mean, it's hopefully Christmas will come early. It'd be great to get Trump out and Pence and all those Ivanka and Jared, all these people who just don't are just tacking up our government and ruining our lives. But the thing is, like, you know, here's the thing. Right now we sit here. I'm drinking my iced coffee. We have our iPhones. He's got a bottle of water. You know, like, life is good, it seems, right? But, you know, there will come a day where we will feel the Trump effect, like, in subtle way, whether it be in, like, you know, the environment, you know, continuing to deteriorate because of regulations or we're getting sick because he, you know, deregulated the pesticides thing where they can spray all of our, you know, there will come a day where we will feel the Trump effect. Hopefully it doesn't happen if we can get him out. But like what he's doing behind the scenes while we're focusing on this, you know, is also very detrimental.
Right.
So.
Yeah, and very distracting to being a president to find all these scandals.
I'm glad most of us can all agree.
Well, yeah,
how shitty of a president
At this point, I don't think there's many supporters left of him.
There are, though.
Just staunch ones.
There are. You know the ones in the middle of the country who just have never left their homes and
right.
only know what is right in front of them and don't want to see beyond.
Yeah.
I mean, he has supporters. Luckily, though, there are more of us. than there are of them, despite the Russian bots on Twitter and social media, because it makes it seem like there are a lot of them. When you go on social media, because Russia has these bots, they exist, and they let them loose on social media. So that's why it seems every time the president posts or someone from his campaign posts, there's like a bazillion likes and comments and follows. It's because you'll go under and you'll see like these Twitter handles, and you'll click on, and it's like, this is a weird account. It looks fake. There's no pictures. It's all memes of pro-Trump memes and pro-Putin memes. It's
yeah, maybe he's
ridiculous.
Buying likes, huh?
Well,
maybe Trump
I don't.
Buying
he did. No, no, no. They did the news story. Did a lot of his followers are fake or they're like Russian? Yeah, there's articles about it. It's crazy. It's just there's
That's
so much
yeah,
that it's
is.
Hard to to pick
out.
It is.
Out, it's hard to follow.
And
you
it's
know?
Hard to keep up. And it's like, where do you share your outrage? Because it's like you're not done being outraged over this. You haven't even got to being outraged over this little, you know, it's just so much coming at you.
Yeah.
So
we'll see. There's going to be a White House press briefing soon. We'll see what they say, man. But
it'll be interesting to see what happens. I mean, this has never happened before.
Right.
I don't think any of us, certainly not you or your generation, ever thought you would see something like this. But again, you guys saw, you were alive for Nixon, right?
Was this, I was a
does
kid.
It echo similar? Like,
I don't know, man. I was 8 years old when the whole thing with Nixon. So, no, actually, this was the second term. So I would have been about 11 or so. And so I wasn't really involved. And I was in Israel, so I wasn't really involved in the politics here.
Yeah.
I just remember that he won over McGovern back in...
Right.
In
so basically, 72. This is all of our first time going through kind of a crisis within our democracy.
No, that's right? True. That's true. This is modern times bullshit. Right. You know? But...
I mean, even in Israel, you don't see shit like this happening, right?
I don't know. There's a lot of shit. I mean,
they but like put, up at the top,
they put the fucking former prime minister in jail.
Which one?
Ehud Olmert.
Recently?
Pretty recently.
For what?
For taking money, bribes.
So
whatever.
It happens everywhere.
It happens everywhere.
But that's the thing to me is like when you get to that point in your life as like a politician in any country, you know, like don't you think?
Right.
You have to be mind your P's and your Q's because you're under such a microscope.
You know? Yeah.
And that,
I mean, the former president of Israel, now the president there is just more of like an honorary role. It's like not a, like a president.
Like a face?
Yeah, you know, it's just like he does certain
like
things.
Like a mayor almost?
Not even that, you know, just sort of like a king
a
almost.
Personality.
You know, when you have a king and they're not really doing anything like the monarchy in London or something in England. But no, the prime minister is obviously the top thing. But the president was accused and jailed for rape.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, okay. Harassment
so
and
shit,
rape.
This happens
so
a lot.
So it happens all over the fucking place, man. Yeah, believe it. Believe it. All right, folks, we're going to bring in our guest right now. Who politely asked to come on the show, and I said, of course. We're joined by Jarell Lacan. Welcome to the show, Jarell.
Hey, thank you.
Yeah, get closer to the mic so we can hear you, because you are here to talk today.
Yeah.
So don't be shy. You seem like a very, like, what would I say, a polite person, right?
Yeah.
You wait your turn and everything, but no, feel right at home here, man. Here we talk, you know, this is what it's about.
Thank you.
So, so you're a musician.
Yes, sir.
First and foremost.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of music do you play?
I do soul pop is what I call it.
Oh, okay. What's that like? I mean, just what it sounds like, a mix of some soul and pop music?
Yeah.
So who would it sound like? You know, I mean, do you have anything like that or do you think you're pretty unique?
I think I'm pretty unique.
Yeah.
Of course, I feel like my music is very competitive with the music that you hear on the radio today, but I definitely feel like it has a different sound, my spin.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Wow. I can't wait to listen. Now I really want to listen, but let's tease ourselves a little bit with the song and stuff. I'm looking forward to hearing that. So so let's find out a little bit about you, and then we'll find out about the music and everything.
Okay.
So are you an Angeleno? Were you born and raised here?
No, I was actually born in a small town from Mississippi.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's like 120 people.
Really?
What? 120 people.
119.
So you know everybody,
now.
Right?
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
119? The population hasn't grown. It's only just decreased. It's
exactly.
Just, what's the town called?
It's called Bobo.
Bobo, Mississippi?
Wow. Yeah.
Do you have stoplights there?
No.
Yeah.
Like like the way that it, like if you're on the main highway and like you're going to like a town or whatever and you're trying to get to Bobo.
Right.
You have walked, like you because pass. There's no sign to say welcome to Bobo.
You drive right past it.
Yeah.
And people call and say, oh, where is, did I pass it? I'm like, where you at? They're like, I'm in Cleveland. I was like, yeah, you passed it like 30 minutes ago.
Oh, shit. What's the biggest city closest to it?
Closest? Clarksdale.
Okay, so in this town, you guys have like a local general store? Like, do you have like would you have to drive to go?
Probably like those towns.
We did have a general store that my father owned.
Okay, okay. Because really? I went to college in a very small town in Vermont called Putney, and there was no stoplights. Like everything is like there's general stores. There's everything is owned locally. Even the grocery store is called the co-op because it's just community, run. Everything, right? Is it like that? Like, there's a guy that sells hamburgers out of, and he has a dual business. He sells hamburgers out of like a Winnebago, and also will fix your vacuum.
Yeah, so, right. Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
so I can't imagine there was a sign outside there. Bobo population 119. And it never changes. It always is the same.
If that sign is not there, I think I'm going to put it there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Wait. Okay, and then. So is it a tourist town?
No,
come on. Yeah.
I mean, like, why would people like live there? Town. Right? Because is it cheap? Is
that's
that why?
True. Well, that's a good question.
Well, it's cheap pretty much all over in Mississippi, but I mean, my family is from there.
Just as like a generation. Mm-hmm. Or so in the
people
place,
who had settled there and their kids. Yeah, exactly. Cool.
Wow. So your ancestors probably built the town or something, for all you know.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, because all the streets are actually named after all the people that's been in town for like 50 years.
That's sick. Yeah. What, did they name a street sign after you?
They named after my father's family and after my mother's family as well.
So really? once your one of your songs goes like on the top one, then you're like, I'm coming for my sign. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to collaborate with like Lil Wayne or Wiz Khalifa, and then you're going to come back for your sign. You have to demand it at a certain point. You get like 10,000 Instagram followers. That's more than that town, more people that town will ever see. Once you just get 121 Instagram followers.
Yeah.
You have more followers in the town.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
There you go. You know more people than you do in your town. Now, so at a certain point, you decided this is too small and confining for you, right?
Yeah, I decided that about 5 years old.
Oh, really?
I honestly think that living in a town that size might be awesome because if something goes wrong, there's only 119 people that, right. You know what I mean? Like it.
Yeah, but nothing ever happens in such small towns.
But some people, why do we need things to happen, right? Yeah, why don't we just, everyone.
Yeah.
Everyone knows you.
Exactly. Things don't happen because everybody knows everybody.
Right.
It is really like a village. Like when I was growing up, like all the parents of all the different kids had the opportunity to discipline each other's children.
Right. Yeah. So you're like, raised by the community.
Like
almost.
A commune. Yeah. Wow. That's pretty
they
interesting.
Say, but they say there's positives to that.
There is.
There are studies in places that they do, there's, it's all, like you said, it's a community. Like people are even doing that now because it seems more affordable to dine together, like as groups of families where you
that's
put
how
on,
a kibbutz
you know what I mean? Exactly.
Israel,
I love that whole idea is so cool.
But that it's dying off, that idea, because it's more like a socialistic
right.
times.
Right.
And where it's like everybody was for everybody. You didn't have your own business.
But do you think it could work?
It depends who. Some people, I think, are into it.
You have to get the right kind of people.
But it's self-sufficient. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, yeah, definitely people that are from a kibbutz or something, people actually call them like a kibbutznik or something because they have a different outlook on life.
I kind of like that. I know that doesn't really work.
Have you ever been on one?
When I went to Israel, I would stay there. I think it's cool. I really do because I think that... It's like not forced community, but really if you have to sustain, you're self-sustainable and you realize like
you
we're all part
alone.
Of, you're part of this ecosystem where if one part of the chain breaks, or it weakens, you have to be there for each. I think it's cool.
No, it is, and the thing is at times, even the kids were grown in groups, collectively, but now they let the kids be in their parents', cabins, whatever they call them, cottage, but
when I remember when he went, it was so cool that just living on a farm basically,
you have livestock,
everyone
fields,
has their everyone has their chores or their jobs, their roles,
but that's from the past. I gotta tell you, Rachel, they're saying to me that there it's not like that anymore,
really.
Because there's capitalism is taking over, people are not like, I'm going to work so hard and not make any money.
That's true.
Well, also, though, for some people though, it's not necessarily about that. It's just about sustaining.
Right. Yeah.
Because they're seeing also capitalism. If you're a small business, it's so hard to be a small business. It's right. Big businesses and corporations. I mean, it's really not out for the small business. You know, that's why capitalism, it's hard, you know.
Yeah. It is. Everybody out for their own, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I was going to say, and that's the wonderful thing about living in such a small community that, you know, I know for my father, a lot of times with his business and stuff like that, he would help out as much as he could in the community.
Yeah.
And then likewise, and vice versa for all the other families and, you right. know,
yeah, that's good. Yeah, you stick together. Cool. So it's 5 years old. You know, this is too small for me. Did you start making any plans at that age? What did you think? I mean, what does a five-year-old think, you know? Do you remember?
I remember at five, I thought that my parents did the worst thing by showing me Michael Jackson.
Really?
Yeah, because, like, that inspired the whole, like, this is too small for me.
Really?
Like, after I saw Michael Jackson, I just said that although I was a child that smiles, I told everybody I was, like, secretly depressed for the rest of my life until I moved to L.A.
Really? Yeah. So Michael Jackson sort of made you realize, wow, there's more to life than just this, huh?
Yeah.
Wow. What period in Michael's life was it? When you first remember, what were the songs you like in the beginning?
Do you Thriller.
Remember? Thriller. Okay, so you're talking about the 80s, like, you know. Like early
80s. Yeah. I saw him in the 90s.
Yeah.
But
but those are the songs you grew up on.
Mm-hmm.
I know. In fact, yesterday I was listening. Thriller came on my playlist on Spotify. And Billie Jean came on two songs later. And I had it on shuffle.
Yeah.
I said, wow, this is a Michael Jackson evening. But the thing is, these are my two favorite Michael Jackson songs. Thriller and Billie Jean.
There you go.
Because they're so like fast and powerful.
Yeah,
and,
great
you
music.
Know, right?
Yeah.
Danceable. Very cool, man. So, yeah, that's nice to bring up Michael because he's had such an influence on so many people, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he was the king of pop. There's no doubt about it.
Pretty much mostly everyone on the radio now is a fan of Michael Jackson.
Right.
Right.
And, yeah, you know, and listeners and stuff from every generation, you know, it was just amazing to me. So what was it about Michael that drew you? Was it the music or his act, the look? Was it everything, the whole package?
It was the whole package.
Yeah.
But, like, watching him from such a young age, of course it was probably, like, magic and cartoon because of all the fires and the lights and all of that stuff and the glitter and everything. But the thing that inspired me the most is that he loved what he was doing.
Yeah, right.
And it was so inspiring. And it made me say, that's what I want to do with the rest of my life.
Wow. So you actually believed, I'm going to get into music and that's it, the hell with everything else, right?
Yeah.
So then as you grew up, you realized you're going to actually pursue this. At what point did you go to school in that small town or did you already have to move to a bigger place?
Well, I went to elementary school, which is like, a mile away from the town.
Right.
But it's like nothing there. It's just trees and
stuff. Whoa. How cool is that, man? You know, I picture this like in the Amish country or something, you know, where you have the school out of nowhere in the field, you know?
Oh, man.
So, but then after that, like high school and stuff, where did you go, I'm sure?
We went to the town in Clarksdale.
Okay.
And that's probably like 40-something thousand people.
That was a little bigger place and stuff.
Yeah.
And high school, what was that like for you?
High school was it was pretty cool. Like, I mean, you know, we always do what we see on TV.
Right.
We're not as country as the people portray us on the TV shows. Like, hey, how you guys doing and everything like that. But like, but I mean, we are a little slower in pace. You know.
That's true, huh?
Yeah.
Much slower pace. Wow. Cool. So now did you decide after high school what did you think you were going to do with yourself at that point?
I still always wanted to always do music, so I did that throughout high school.
Okay.
Not professionally, but just through church.
That's how it usually starts, right? You get to develop your voice,
yeah,
to learn to hit the notes and,
yeah.
Oh wow.
And then I'll sing the national anthem at different ball games and stuff. It made me feel like a little local celebrity.
Yeah, right?
You know.
He's like, hey, out of 120 people, I can sing best exactly. here. I'm just kidding, man.
No, yeah. That's funny.
But no, that's cool because you decided you're going to make it big and stuff. Yeah. For those of you joining us, we're talking to Jay Lacan, and this is your stage name. And so you have a cool website. This is one page, I guess. Your EPK and stuff, but so let's talk. We'll get to your career and everything, but okay. But you're a musician. So I'm just saying this for those just joining us. Yeah, see, it says he was born in Bobo, Mississippi. So there you go. You see, and that's why I don't read the bio in advance so I can ask you about it. Because if I'd known everything, I'd go, "Oh, you're born in Bobo, Mississippi. That's cool." I'm like, I don't know where the hell it is, you know. So. Yeah, but that's cool. So we're going to play your music in a little bit.
Okay.
But I'm trying to figure out at what point did you decide I'm leaving Mississippi, I'm moving west. Did you move directly here?
Well, actually, I went to college in okay. Arkansas.
Oh, okay.
And I was there for like 2 years.
Awesome.
Yeah. And I was traveling, and at that time I was doing like gospel music because in the South, if you're not doing like hip hop,
right?
Or
it's either
gospel.
Or like I feel like it's either hip hop, gospel, and then like at the very bottom, like maybe country music.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But like hip hop, or if you, I feel like you could combine all three. You could be like, yeah. You know, just yeah, like yeah. a hip hop, gospel, country, and then like you'll just
yeah
cater to that demographic well.
That's
you know
true.
That's so you could just tackle all
so
like what would a hip-hop
stuff.
Gospel country it's like Jesus
yeah
like
with the whore
with my bitches you know
yeah, exactly.
But like also some cornbread you know?
I know that would sound really cool
you know
well,
you
maybe
have to
that's
incorporate
a genre I don't know
we'll it is it's like
you
know, a hybrid
I
you know
I
like I think
try that
yeah for sure
day.
For sure
you see you learn something new every day you get creative
that's amazing though. I have
think,
to use
yeah,
that
yeah for sure
that's very cool.
We just came up with his next album.
Yeah, I
Jesus
know.
Jesus with my bitches.
And some cornbread, you know, for the South.
Some
you got it for the got it. They love the Southern food.
Yeah. Oh man, that's hilarious.
So that's cool. Now, so when you in college, did you get into music more and stuff like that?
Yeah, I actually sung in the choir in college, and we traveled and. You know, did like different things. I actually had an opportunity to go to Washington and sing solos there. And
that's pretty cool, right?
Yeah. And then when I graduated from one school and went to the other school, my professor actually called me back and I had an opportunity to go sing the national anthem at the Grizzly and Lakers game. So that was pretty
cool.
Oh, wow.
Cool.
Wow, yeah. That's cool. Huh?
There you go.
Yeah, yeah, so that national anthem singing in high school.
Hells yeah.
Came back.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
So did that help you in any way when you do something like that? I mean, people see you, they go, wow, he sings nice and stuff. But does that help your career? Did it?
It gave me some success for those moments, you know.
Yeah.
It opened up doors for like artists like, what's his name, Yo Gotti? I believe now.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Like, he's way bigger than what he was then. But
really?
At that time, it opened up that I opened up for him.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it's different little platforms here and there.
Right.
But
and you get more confident in what you can do and everything.
Definitely.
That's very nice. So, and then after college, what did you do?
My father came to me, and he was like, I see that you're just not going to let this 5-year-old dream go, right? It's like, no, sir. And I went to college like you asked me to.
Yeah,
so.
Right. Then what did you take in college? What he wanted?
I took a business management just because, like, in the South, there's a few things that you can do that you can be successful. Business and management, you always can find a career in that
That's
area.
That's true, right?
Nurse, doctor, mm-hmm. teacher,
yeah,
lawyer.
Right. Wow.
Something dealing with...
Yeah, right?
Those are about the only things that you're going to be successful in,
right.
Especially in Mississippi. So, you know, I took up that because I thought that was going to be my life.
Right, and it's more like a practical way to go, right?
Yeah.
You're like, you figure at that point, I don't know if I can make music my career.
Yeah.
I better get a job and stuff.
Yeah.
But apparently... you satisfied your dad and everything, right? Because you went to college, you took business and everything.
Yeah.
But then he came to you and he says, you've got that dream.
Yeah.
Your heart and mind are not into the business and all that, right?
Yeah.
So and what happened then?
He was like, well, me and your mother, we've been talking, and we decided that if you just will not give this dream up, is this something that you really want to do? We don't want you to be unhappy with your life.
Ah.
We don't want you to have regrets.
Right.
And so he was like, you know, so we are saying that it's okay to go to like LA or New York
right.
and go after your dream, and we will support that.
Wow.
That's so cool.
Yeah. It is, you know. I mean, not many people get that, you know. Rachel is still dealing with her parents, dealing with her being a comic.
Nah, they're like pretty. They're super supportive.
Yeah, yeah, now becoming, they are, right?
Well, but in the beginning. I think pretty much in the beginning with like, you know, with probably most people who have, especially in the entertainment industry, because it seems like everyone has the same stereotype. It's God, you know, everyone wants to be a singer. Everyone wants to be an actress. Everyone wants to be a comic. But it's like, that's fine. I also want to do that. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, and I'm going to do it.
Just
because
a million people
Right. Doesn't mean, just because a million people try. Like, so what? You know what I mean? So I think once they started to see that I was very serious about it and that, like, I was getting asked to do shows and I had taken this interest on my own.
Right.
I think that's when your parents, you know, when they see that you're happy doing something, even if you're not great at it at first, I think that's when they start to see, you know, because I was miserable doing what they wanted me to do.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And at some point in your life, you just have to say, you know, it's what I want to do.
Right. You got to live your life.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You don't, I say that you would prefer to die happy than to die doing something that you wasn't even feeling like you was meant to do.
Well, also they do a lot of, like, I've read a lot of articles and they ask people on their deathbed questions like, what are your regrets? What are you, you know, wisdom to impose? And like a lot of them, most of them said is, I wish I had like done more to make them fulfill what they wanted to do rather than try and please other people so much, you know?
Right.
And that they didn't settle, you know? So it's like, I never want to look back on my deathbed and feel that way. Like, why didn't I?
Yeah, like regret why you didn't do certain things and stuff.
And
that's
and there's always
going to
be
you.
That element of people who are going to tell you you can't. I mean, some like I was doing at the show yesterday, we were talking, I think it was like Larry David, and I won't say which comedy club, but went to the owner of one of the comedy clubs here in town before he and asked for time, and the guy laughed at him in his face.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
When he first, because he wanted to get up on stage right before he was doing stand-up, and this is like one of his first sets, and the guy straight up laughed at him.
Yeah.
I bet he's laughing now, you know?
Yeah, you never know. It depends on what path you take, you know.
Definitely.
But you decided to take a path that inspired you, that you wanted to do, that you felt you were meant to do.
Yeah.
And that's cool, you know. So you decided to pursue your career. And did you go to New York or did you decide to move here directly?
I came here.
Directly. Mm-hmm. You figured, I'm coming to Hollywood, man. Watch out, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, it sort of happened like that, but not really.
Yeah.
Basically, after my father told me that, it was during the Christmas time. And I remember I had to go back to Arkansas shortly after that. And I had just started dating this new girl.
Uh-huh.
Like, we just, like you know, someone I was very interested in. And a long story short with that is, like, I thought I was going to have to move, like, in September. So I was preparing her, like, oh, you know, like, if it's serious, then maybe we can move, you know, out there together.
Right.
And I was working at Walmart. And I was just, I was in management then. And I just had, like, L.A. was the last thing on my list because it's expensive.
Right.
And New York is just as equally expensive, if not more. But
and they're big, too, right? I mean, doesn't it intimidate you when you come from a small place, you look at a place with 4 million people in L.A. or 8 million people in New York? Pretty intimidating, no?
Yeah, it is. It's definitely not too much of a culture shock because of college. You know, college kind of prepare you for the world
right.
or whatever, so you're so used to being around different people. But But like New York is a whole nother different type of monster because I lived there for like 6 months.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
New York seems so intimidating.
It is, right?
Like everyone, like it's like crowded and everyone's bumping past you and everyone is on a mission. And then like it's a lot of people that are mean, but it's like that's like everywhere you go, including even Mississippi. But like in New York, it's just magnified because there's so many people that live on top of each other.
Exactly, in a very small place, you know.
Yeah,
that's the thing. One thing here is we have half the population of New York, and we're spread out.
Yeah,
so it doesn't feel as crowded here. It's congested.
Yeah,
only on the freeways, but you know, at least. We have a lot of room here to move.
Yeah, you know? And that's what I like about L.A. because it kind of reminds me of a mini version of New York,
right?
Like, but it's not as congested. But then also it kind of reminds me of being in the South that is kind of has a relaxed type of feel to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, like laid back more, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, New York, they're uptight all the time. You're right. They're like constantly like, let me get here, let me get there. But you know what? We do that here too. Just so we do it with our cars. But, you know, so you see it on the freeway. But there you see it on the streets because people walking, the subway, all that stuff, you know. But New York is definitely different from L.A. It's definitely different. It's got some great things about it. Yeah. I think it's so much more happening than what we have here, you know.
Yeah.
You walk the streets, you can smell the bakeries, you can smell the restaurants. Here we don't have any of that, you know. We're in a little capsules on the freeway, and that's it, you know.
Yeah, now you're speaking my language.
Really?
Because in New York, you're right. Like, there's a mom-and-pop shop literally on every corner.
Right.
And everyone has something different to offer.
Right.
And the food is just amazing.
Amazing, right?
Not saying that L.A. doesn't have amazing food.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then the roasted peanuts on the corners. I mean, you smell that, and you just go, my God, man, I got to eat something, you know. Here, we never have that. You walk into a fucking restaurant here, and you don't smell food. I don't get it, you know. I don't get it.
That's true.
Yeah, it does smell like food, you know. But yeah, like you go into a McDonald's or something, what are you gonna smell? Just a little grease. But right. It doesn't smell like food that's appetizing, you know.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean. New York does have that.
Yeah.
It has a lot of diversity there for sure. So Jay LaCan is a musician, so you came here. And had you been here before you moved?
To L.A.?
To L.A.
I've been here, I was here for 3.5 years.
But 3.5 years, so... But before that, you were like new. You hadn't visited before anything?
No.
You just moved, right?
Yes, sir.
Without having been here before?
Correct.
Wow. See, no, that's family, pretty scary, no, right?
Yeah.
Wow. How old were you at the time?
At
that
the time?
It was right after college, pretty much.
Two
right?
years after college. Okay, and I was 24 at the time when I moved.
Early, mid-20s.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you already knew what the hell you wanted to do with your life, right?
Correct.
Yeah, good. So you moved here. Now, this has got to be pretty, like we said, intimidating, moving to a big place. How did you find your place in all this? I mean, did you settle down right away? How was it for you?
Well, when I first came, it took me about 6 months to get adjusted to mm-hmm. how the things were out here.
Yeah.
Because like when I came, like literally the very next day, I had to report to Walmart to work. So
that's awesome.
Oh, so
even because very few people come here with jobs, and I think it takes minimum 6 months.
Yeah.
Not even to like I've been here for 4 years, and I feel like I'm just now like you know what I'm saying
yeah.
because. Like, and a lot of people who move to LA, it's also our generation, but instant gratification. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you think you're going to come to LA, you're going to get famous, and then it's going to, but people don't realize it's the people that, you know, when you hear someone who's like getting famous and then you actually read up on them and like, they've been doing this shit for years,
yeah.
like for before it was even cool, you know, like, and the earlier stuff, whatever, what other medium, singer, actor, comedian, like their shit was bad, you know, like
yeah,
it was,
right.
but the fact that they had been putting, and it's almost like they came out of nowhere, right? It's almost like you've heard the first time you ever heard of this person,
right? Yeah, right? Like in Star Wars,
and then you realize they've been like doing it for so long,
you know. But can you imagine? I sometimes wonder about when you're on a movie like a Star Wars or something and you're unknown, right? Mm-hmm. And you know the moment the movie comes out, you're going to be known forever.
Well, you're unknown. Exactly. You're unknown to like the world, but to the community of act, like the people in the community know you. That's how you got there.
But what I'm saying is right before you
almost
become
overnight.
A huge star.
Almost overnight.
And
well,
it
yeah.
is, but it's definitely not overnight. But the overnight is...
No, but that notoriety of the like not the hard work or anything, but the notoriety, like
exactly,
you're saying, like it
fame.
Is when that first, like on that Friday when the movie's released, that next day people are going to know you
exactly,
right?
And that's weird, right? I mean, you know, your life's going to change, and you're anticipating it. It's not like a surprise, you know. Some successes of movies have been like surprises, like the Blair Witch Project and things like that.
Yeah.
They didn't know it was going to be big, you know, and so yeah. I don't think he planned for that, but so that takes a little while. But some things, yeah, like when you know, like when they cast a Harry Potter or something, you know, this kid's gonna be extremely
or when they cast
famous,
casted Wonder Woman,
right?
Because remember, we had never heard of Gal Gadot before Wonder Woman,
right?
But
exactly.
She's been an actress for years, probably, you know.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. By the way, I'm planning on watching it. This week, I mean, the next movie I see.
I haven't seen it yet, but I wanted
Wonder Woman
to see
it. Wonder Woman is a very great movie.
Everyone said the same thing.
Yeah, I saw it like four times.
Cool. Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Maybe
so
it's because I'm a Wonder Woman fan.
Oh, really? Always have been, huh? Like comic books and stuff?
Well, not so much of the comic books because I didn't get a chance to read them. Don't kill me, the comic writers.
Right.
But no, I did watch the show when I was growing up.
On TV?
The TV show with Linda Carter.
Yeah. That one was good. And before that, maybe this was before your time too, but I remember cartoons of Wonder Woman on TV every Saturday morning. It was amazing. But yeah, Linda Carter was a good one.
Yeah.
For sure. Wow.
And
very cool. So, okay, well, let's get to your music.
Okay.
So you came here, you already had a job when you moved, so that's cool, right? That helps a lot.
Yeah, it does.
Well, you see, you had it well planned. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
So you came here, you stayed at your job, but you decided you're going to start making music, professional music.
Yeah, I'm going to make a long story short with that.
Okay.
So I had been in L.A. for about 2 years. And what happened was the first month I was here, I booked a commercial for Starbucks.
Awesome.
And, and so I was like, oh, because I always kind of wanted to dabble with acting as well.
Right.
And so I did the thing, and I was there for like 4 hours, and I made like $1,000.
Wow. And now, did you just find the audition somewhere? Did you already hire somebody to help you, like an agent or something?
Well, when I was here, this was on my birthday when I actually filmed, but what happened was I had met with a manager, and basically a long story within this long story short is that she didn't tell me I was horrible, but she asked me to sing a song, and then she told me that she's like, oh, you sound really good, but you know, you don't have a voice like Jennifer Hudson or something like that. And I was like, well, I'm glad I don't sound like Jennifer Hudson.
Right?
That would be weird.
Yeah, right.
And so, but she's like, but I like your natural raw talent and your instinct. She was like, I can tell that, you know, she's like, I can tell that you come from somewhere that you probably been successful in that area.
Right.
And she was like, here, you're going to have to work a little bit harder and stuff. And, you know, basically it was that challenge. But she was the one that got me the audition.
Yeah, yeah. But you see, that's a good thing. You need people to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
You don't want people to tell you, you know, you're good, and then you're not.
Yeah.
All right. So, well, we're running out of time, so let's definitely play your song.
Okay.
It's called All On Me.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about the song.
All On Me is just simply like my journey of trying to achieve the ultimate dream, which is become this successful singer or successful actor or whatever. And so, you know, talking about all the different struggles and obstacles and haters and stuff that people tell you that, oh, you're not going to necessarily be successful, or I don't see that happening for you. And this song is kind of like this song is kind of like a fuck you to them, like not in a way that is like, you know, saying that, but it's also kind of like, you know, sometimes you tell yourself those things as well, like,
that's
I'm not going to be successful, or maybe they may be true, so now you're stopping your own self. So sometimes you have to tell yourself like, no,
it's all on me, right?
Yeah.
Wow. All right, well, let's listen, Jay LaCon.
It seems like the world is
like it already, man. You see, upbeat, fast. You doing the harmony still?
Yeah.
Awesome. Yes, it's all on me. It's all on me. I know a lot of times it's like I'm over the deep in, head over heels, about to fall myself in tight situation. Overcoming them out with no hesitation. Sometimes it feel like my life turn into a big confrontation. I got to stay focused, can't let you break my concentration. Too many lies got me fed up. Y'all tried throwing your songs downward. I like it, man. I can't stop listening.
Well, thank you. I
can't stop. I can't stop listening. Awesome. Well, we're totally running out of time, so we can't really play the whole thing. But the song is All On Me, Jay Lacon, L-A-C-O-N-N, and first initial J.
It's like a dance club hit.
Yeah.
I hear it, and like I can already see it, you know.
I love it.
People
know,
wearing not a lot of clothes in a club, some in like Miami or Vegas. You know what I mean?
That
like
that's dope.
What
yeah.
I. And
that's
even though it's a dance song and it's got
it's catchy
electronic stuff, but it's also yeah, and you have harmonies and
yeah.
and the voice. And now, did you write the song yourself?
Me and my brother actually wrote
really?
The song.
Oh, that's cool. It was a family affair.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Is he older, younger?
He's older. I'm the youngest of my family.
How many kids do you guys have?
Six.
Six?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's one thing we forgot to ask in the beginning.
Oh, it's okay.
So you guys were pretty much one quarter of the town, just your family alone.
Right?
You know, the funny thing is most of all my family lived there in that town.
Yeah, right?
I mean, there was a few people that wasn't kin to us, so right. dating was a lot difficult.
Yeah. But
so we had to date outside the town, for
yeah.
sure.
They should have called it Laconville or something, you know?
Right.
There you go. We own the goddamn town.
Right?
Yeah. Okay, Jay, tell people how they can find you, how they can get a hold of you, get the music.
Okay, well, my name is Jay Lacon. That's J-L-A-C-O-N-N. And all of the social medias like Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, you can find me at Jay Lacon. And for my Facebook, you can find me at Jarrell Lacon. That's J-E-R-R-E-L-L-A-C-O-N-N. That's my Facebook. And for my music, SoundCloud, same thing, at Jay Lacon, or YouTube, Jay Lacon. And my song, All On Me, will be out Thursday.
Oh, that's cool, man. Well, congratulations. You got to hear it here first, right?
Yeah.
That's awesome. I congratulate you. You're amazing. You know, you've got a story. You made it from a small town to the big city.
Yeah.
And now you're doing what you love to do.
Yeah.
And you continue doing that, you know, until forever, you know?
Yeah.
And I figure, you know, you never fail unless you stop. Because you still do whatever you're doing, so you haven't failed.
Yeah.
You know, it's only failure when you go, oh, I tried that once, I didn't make it, you know?
Yeah.
But if you're still working at it, you haven't failed, you know?
That's true.
So much success to you, Jarrell.
Thank you, Sam.
We appreciate this, and I really thank you for bringing on the song. It was awesome.
Thank you.
I really love it.
Thank you, Rachel.
So everybody,
I'm still bopping
on.
To it. I still have the tunes in my head, the beats.
I know.
I know.
All right, everybody. Thank you all for listening. Rachel, thank you.
Always.
And we'll see everybody tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.